Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our second lesson, Book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at the fourth verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, all for Christ I have forsaken and have taken up my cross. Worldly joy, its fame and fortune, now I count as worthless dross. Those are words that we'll sing at the end of church today, and they put me in mind of something that my dad and I used to do when I was a kid. I've mentioned, I think, this in a sermon before, but we would make toy soldiers. And we would do it by scrounging up some old oxidized pieces of lead and melt them in a crucible. And then all of the oxidized material, the slag, would float to the surface when it was melted. And you take a big nail and swirl it around in the lead, and the slag would stick to the nail. And what was left was the nice shiny metal. And then you could pour it into molds and make toy soldiers. The slag? It was useless. It served no purpose. It was ugly. It was crumbly. The only thing it was good for is throwing away. It was worthless dross. Now, St. Paul, as he mentions in today's lesson, he discovered in his own life something also that was worthless dross, only good for throwing it away. And he called it, in his own words, confidence in the flesh. He said, if anyone else seems to be confident in the flesh, I am more, which is probably going to leave us a little bit puzzled, so he elaborates on it, and he explains what he means by giving his resume, as a human being. And this is what he says. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day, which to folks back then would mean he was from an observant Jewish family. He was not an adult convert to Judaism, an adult vainly trying in their middle age to learn Hebrew or to memorize the scriptures. No, Paul was raised in it from day one. Not only that, he says, I'm of the people of Israel. The one nation in all the world that the Lord called his chosen people. The Lord called them his inheritance. The Lord called them the flock of his pasture. St. Paul listed in his resume, he said, I was of the tribe of Benjamin, or I am of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two sons of Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife. He said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I can trace my ancestry all the way back through the generations, and not any of my ancestors weren't Jewish. We took seriously the commandment of God, come out from them, the Gentiles, and be ye separate. St. Paul says, according to the law, I was a Pharisee, or I was a Pharisee. The most observant branch of Judaism, the most dedicated missionaries. He says, as to zeal, I persecuted the church. He saw the followers of Jesus, and he said, they're all wrong. They have to be stopped. They're going to destroy our faith. And he didn't just gripe about it or complain to his friends. He went out there to do something about it, to put a stop to the Christian faith. St. Paul says, according to the righteousness of the law, I was without blame. He looked at himself in the mirror and he did not see in any way that he was in error in his service to the Lord. He strove for what every righteous man back then would strive for, to be like Job, commended by God, where it says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless. He was upright. He feared God. He shunned evil. St. Paul lists his resume. And it becomes very obvious that this young man, Paul, was being fast-tracked. Galatians chapter 1, he says this. He said, you heard about My former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the Church of God violently, and I tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. The man was smart, he was motivated, he was driven, he was unyielding. Great things were expected from him. His future looked to be rosy. He had every reason to say, I have the favor of God. I have eternal life. If anybody else supposes they have confidence in the flesh, I have more. And yet, right after that, he says, whatever was to my profit, whatever was to my gain, I account it as a loss. I account it as dross on account of Christ. And you know when that happened, if you know your Bible. He was on the road to Damascus and he was struck down and he was blinded by the power of the Lord Jesus. And when that happened, he realized that all along he had been fighting against God, kicking against the Lord. Because he thought that he was going to be getting to God through his works, through his action, through his good conduct, through his integrity, through his character, through his morality, through his obedience, through his faithfulness, through his works of charity, for his gifts, through his gifts for people in need. And he realized that the whole ball of wax was rebellion against God. It was a disobedience. It was unbelief. It was just as much a rebellion and disobedience and unbelief as that of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. For the simple reason that Paul was going Paul's way to God and not God's way to God. And you could call him noble. You could call him dedicated, you could call him convicted, you could call him obedient, you could call him moral. And his response to that was, you know, I just don't want anything to do with it. I can't go that way anymore. He wasn't saying that it's wrong to do good actions or to have right behaviors. It's just that the human heart takes those things and perverts them like it always does with everything else. It makes such things into a reason for God to favor you and to bless you and to save you. It's the total opposite of God's grace. And not only that, it's a pipe dream. It's a lie. Book of Galatians chapter 3. For all who rely on works of the law, keeping the law of God, are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law, and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by keeping the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Paul says, I had confidence in the flesh, confidence in myself, and to prove it, here's my resume. The man becomes a Christian, he's washed clean in the blood of Jesus, and he says, let me have that resume back just for a moment. Let's take it back. Point number one, circumcised on the eighth day. Let's get rid of that. Of the people of Israel, scratch it. Of the tribe of Benjamin, get rid of it. Hebrew of Hebrews, get rid of it. According to the law of Pharisee, get rid of it. According to zeal, persecuting the church, definitely get rid of it. According to righteousness and the law, without blame, get rid of it. And when he gets rid of all of that, what's left? What is still there? What still stands? Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, I consider them slag, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own behavior that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. after he gets rid of all the slag, all the dross, all the things that don't give you eternal life, all the things that don't make you right with God, what's left? What's left is the Lord Jesus. What's left is Christ. And so we sing it in a hymn. It tells us what is left standing before Almighty God. It goes like this: Chief of sinners, though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me, died that I might live on high, lives that I might never die. As the branch is to the vine, I am his, and he is mine. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts through faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.